2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro. Everyone, welcome back to the DFS Army Bold Calls Fantasy Football Podcast, where we talk all things fantasy football. Season-long fantasy football is a year-round thing. We're sitting here pretty much in quarantine right now. It's pretty crazy. But I've got my man Season-long Says here to talk some fantasy football. What's up, Says?
Hey, what's up, man? So yeah, no, this is good. It's if we're going to be quarantined, if we're going to be, you know, self isolating, all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of action around the NFL to distract us, because usually I don't get all bent out of shape about the news, but it's been a little depressing. So I'm pretty happy that we get to entertain the people a little bit and give our terrible takes on free agency.
Now, you say it's been pretty depressing, so I'm assuming that you're a Texans fan.
Oh, I meant pretty depressing, the news itself.
We're not even talking about that. Yeah, no, I'm just talking about if you're a Texans fan, it's got to be pretty depressing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first initial wave is go kill Bill O'Brien. He made a terrible trade. And then someone else I forgot to add to our list. You can add Stephon Diggs. I'm sure you saw that overnight, too. But yeah, when you saw the value of what Stephon Diggs went for, first round pick and, you know, some other goodies, it's kind of head scratching a little bit that Bill O'Brien kind of gave Hopkins away with still three years left on his deal too. I mean, by all accounts, Hopkins wanted an extension. He wasn't happy. 3 years left on his deal, but yeah, we'll break it all down one by one, what it actually means. But you know, I put out a tweet that I think that in one of our dynasty leagues, Geek, that I'm the Bill O'Brien of the league, meaning, you know, some of those trades I made early on that have really crippled my team. So we'll see. I have sympathy and empathy for Bill O'Brien.
I don't even want to bring it up because people will stop watching the show.
That's how you learn in Dynasty. You learn by making mistakes.
Now, so the topic today, what we're going to cover is free agency and all of its effects on both the National Football League itself and the balance of power and all of that. But of course, for our fantasy football teams, for our Dynasty leagues, for all of that stuff. But before we even get into free agency, which is going wild, there have been some changes. The CBA was signed. There are some changes to scheduling and things like that. Really significant changes, in my opinion, to the National Football League. And I'd like you to break those down for us, Alan. What's in this new deal, man? More games, more playoff teams? What the hell's going on?
Yeah, so the CBA was not set to expire this year. They were going to play out this year on the last year of the deal. And the owners put something in front of the players, which, you know, from everything I read about it, was good for the 65% of the guys, the players that make the league minimum. It was to raise the league minimum from about $500,000 to $650,000. So, and remember, like I said, about 65% of the league makes the league minimum. So when you put that immediate financial carrot to raise your salary by 20% in front of those members, they're likely going to take it.
They tricked the players into signing it?
Yeah, well, it's not tricked. It's like, hey, the owners were smart. They knew that the majority of players will be affected by this small carrot. Now, the only thing that the players had to negotiate was a 17th game. And the concessions that they gave for it, in my opinion, weren't enough. Now, remember, going back to the last CBA, and Aaron Rodgers pointed this out, was that a 17th game was a non-negotiable for the players, okay? Fast forward to this CBA, a 17th game was a non-negotiable for the owners. Like, that changed. That mindset changed, that a 17th game was happening, and it was just a question of when they were and what they were going to get for it. And
the 17th game, like, what is the point of an extra game?
This right here. I'm doing the
more money.
More money. And some other things came along with that. So the revenue share was 47% for the players. And this new CBA, not next year, but the year after, is going to raise that to 48.5%. Now, the players already had 48.5% at one point, and then the owners negotiated it back down to 47. And again, with that valuable 17th game, I think they could have gotten up to 50%. Now, they also, here's the other key, Geek, was they locked this in through the 2030 season, 11 years. Why make a deal without an out? Meaning, if the deal is so good for the players, if you're in there saying, why can't we have an opt-out, both of us, in 4 or 5 years? That would make sense because the landscape is going to look very different. Let's have the CBA, but let us get out of it. Why do you have to lock it in for a decade? Any player coming in this year, next year, year after, this is your deal. People are negotiating right now for players that are in middle school.
They're more than welcome to go to the XFL competition, man. This is a capitalist society. Right. You don't like it? There's other leagues available. So, now, let me ask you another question.
Yeah.
Within the CBA deal and all of that, are there any other things that we need to be aware of in terms of like guaranteed contracts or anything that allows changes the effects of like teams dumping players or players trying to leave teams via free agency? Because that would be a big deal, I think, even more so than the 47 versus 48%.
Right. Well, yes. The answer is yes. So in the past, teams have had two bullets in the magic gun to keep players under contract for longer than they want to be. And one was the franchise tag, and the other was the transition tag. Now, a franchise tag means they take the average of the top 10 players at that position, and that becomes your salary. It might even be like the top 5 players at the position.
I think it's 5. Yeah.
Top 5. So you're guaranteed a high salary for 1 year, and they can keep you there on a 1 year deal. The transition tag, what that allows for, and again, this is just the nutshell of it. There's a lot more layers and nuances to it. But if I put a transition tag on a player, I give that player the right to go out and go into free agency, but I can match that player. It's almost like a restricted free agency, and there's some pick implications or non-implications of that. So what you're really saying is, hey, I don't want to pay Kenyon Drake. I put a transition tag on him, the top 5 average salary, top 3 average salary. I want to let the market set the price for him, and then I'll just pay him that. So the market,
I like that. So the market might just have to match it rather than having to offer against it.
Right. Instead of saying, hey, I want to pay you the average of Zeke, Todd Gurley, and someone else's $10 million salary, let's see if the market valued him around $6-7 million. You save $3 million, and then you could just match it.
Oh, I like that. All right, cool. All right.
So now you only have one of those weapons. You can't do both. So in the past, you'd have both of those. Now you only have one of those
weapons. Oh, a team can only use one per season.
Right. Instead of two.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. So let's get into the crazy beginning of free agency, because it was crazy. And
one more point on this year. There's going to be 2 extra playoff teams in each conference.
Yeah, so that's right. That was the big thing.
And also, I think you're echoing, so you might have to put in headphones, because I hear my voice is coming through the speakers into the microphone. So you could fix that while I'm talking to the people real quick.
I totally don't have headphones here.
Okay. All right, well. The echo will have to happen. But anyway, yeah. So two more teams going in the playoffs is huge. And only one team, the one seed is going to get the bye. Not two teams will get a bye in each conference. So only the one seed will get a bye in each conference playoffs now.
That's crazy.
That's big.
I have to say, any change for the NFL, it's been so traditional. Now only one bye team. It really, you know, it changed the complexion of league. An extra playoff team is so...
Two extra in each conference.
Two extra playoff teams in your conference. Like, I wonder if that's going to diminish. I mean, it's almost a topic for a whole nother day, but I wonder if it's going to diminish the importance of the regular season, where the NFL regular season has been the ultimate, most important regular season in any sport. Now, you're talking about half of the teams getting into the playoffs, or almost. And so it really changes things quite a bit. And I think it'll open things up for some fans of some downtrodden franchises. You know what I mean? Like Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's like baseball where the regular season, I'm sorry, not like basketball, but the regular season doesn't matter. And more than half the league gets into the playoffs. It's still, you know, I mean, it's still The playoffs are valuable. Home field advantage is so valuable in the NFL. You want to get those higher seeds. And again, just, you know, it makes it more interesting. But as we know, anyone could beat anyone in NFL football. So that 8 seed and the 2 seed matchup is going to be interesting. I mean, you get a team that gets hot late that just ended up with an 8-8 record that had some injuries, similar in our fantasy football leagues. There's always that 6 seed that just had injuries and then got into the playoffs, and it can go a long way. So I think it definitely makes it more interesting.
It helps our playoff fantasy leagues because there's more players, more decisions to make. So let's get into the actual free agency craziness that's happened the last couple of days. There's so much. I don't even know how to start. So we got to start with this trade between the Texans and the Cardinal. Now, I don't know what the fuck is going on in Houston right now, but they traded DeAndre Hopkins, top 5 wide receiver. Let's say top 3 wide receiver in the league. Fair?
I have no objection to that.
I'm not going to say number 1. Top 3. Argue about it amongst yourselves. They traded him in exchange for a washed up, overpaid running back that wasn't even good enough to start for the Cardinals. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, so by all, everything I've read is that DeAndre Hopkins, who had a handful of years left on his deal, was unhappy with the Texans, and Bill O'Brien comes from that school where, hey, I'm not going to have any locker room issues. Now, say what you want about Bill O'Brien. He's made some trades that we all have questioned, thought were not good trades, but the guy has made the playoffs more than most coaches in that second or third tier of NFL players. Now, trading one of the top 5 wide receivers in the game is always questionable. They did it really for a second round pick. David Johnson salary was, I think David Johnson's pretty much washed, but look, we all thought that about Carlos Hyde last year too. And Bill O'Brien made sure Carlos Hyde was a 1,000-yard rusher last year.
But it didn't help the team win. He was probably worse than an average running back, just picked up the scrap heap.
I don't think there's any question or anyone's going to argue with us that DeAndre Hopkins is better for wins than David Johnson. We're talking fantasy football on this podcast. Can David Johnson be a 1,000-yard rusher? Probably. I mean, I'm not saying it's likely. In the fifth round of your fantasy draft,
he's not a Carlos Hyde. He's going to catch passes.
Yeah, but they did trade a 3rd-round pick for Duke Johnson, who can catch 50 passes too, so that caps his upside. I mean, you know, if we're going to talk about Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt capping each other's pass-catching upside, then we certainly have to talk about it with Duke Johnson and David Johnson.
What a horrible trade. There's no redemption, but there's no redemption for the trade itself. That's not what our job is. You're right. Our job is to talk about fantasy football implications of this trade. And let's start with DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray. So, I mean, just a massive, massive cheat code upgrade for both of those two. And I don't know about Hopkins. Actually, I would say Hopkins, that's a negative move for him potentially. But for Kyler Murray to go from really a very mediocre wide receiver core with some up-and-coming players that I like. Don't get me wrong. I like Christian Kirk a little bit. But now to have number 3 wide receiver in the league on your team, guy has a catch radius like nobody's business. You could throw it anywhere. He's going to catch it. The only thing that's ever held Hopkins back is terrible quarterback play or terrible coaching where they just don't throw to him enough.
You're not talking about Deshaun Watson. Of course, you're talking that year when they had
years with all of these terrible.
Brock Osweiler, all those guys.
Yeah. Are we forgetting that Deshaun Watson's only really had one full season, you know, like his healthy season's 1 or 2. Like, he's not been there for most of Hopkins' career. It was Savage and, you know, Brock Osweiler and just horrible quarterback play. So,
Here you go. This is what it comes down to. All right. Is it an upgrade, downgrade, or even money for Hopkins? I'm going to, you know, if I was having to decide, I would say it's even money. Yes, it's an upgrade in offense, but not really an upgrade in QB. If anything,
I would almost put it as a downgrade.
Yeah,
for Hopkins,
I'm with that. Yeah. They are going to throw the football a lot more.
They spread the football a lot more in Arizona than they do in Houston. So from a volume point of view, I think it's actually a downgrade. But that Arizona offense, has the ability to become an explosive. It wasn't that this past year, but the ingredients are there for them to be this explosive point scoring bonanza, kind of like the Rams were a couple of years ago, where like everything involved with that offense, you want a piece of. It wasn't that this past year. I don't want to. That's speculation. We don't know that it will, but the potential, the ingredients all seem to be there. And, you know, we speculated that the Ravens would be an incredible offense last year, and it worked out. So that was speculation. And now this will be speculation. But I do think the assumption, and as we approach the fantasy football draft season, that everything from the Cardinals is now going to be elevated. We'll be talking about Kyler Murray as a top three. And
well, here you go with Hopkins. I mean, as far as fantasy people, that's what people always ask me. We start talking about this stuff. We break these guys down. Where would you draft them? That's all anyone wants to know. And you know, at the end of the day, in the DFS Army wide receiver ranks, I mean, I'm just looking at the best ball 10 ADP, Michael Thomas, Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, and Julio Jones, and sometimes Chris Godwin are the top five and six. Is Hopkins still our wide receiver too, right after Michael Thomas, or you want to move Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams over him at this point? That's really what it comes down to. Where would you draft him?
I think I'm putting Devontae Adams ahead of DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay, fair enough.
Like a healthy Devontae Adams, he just doesn't have bad games. There's no reason why that guy should be behind anybody else. And we've lost Allen for a minute. Lost season long says here. But we're keeping on going. So there's no reason that that guy should be out of it. Now, let's talk about some other free agents that have been on the move. And one of the guys that I'm looking at right now is Dak Prescott, signed long-term. Amari Cooper, signed long-term. Dallas Cowboys offense, completely set for the next 10 years. Yeah.
I got my screen all there. Yeah.
I'll look for a minute, but what I intro just now was the next kind of topic being the Cowboys locking up Dak, locking up Cooper.
I'm gonna log out and log back in just so I can get my thing's all messed up, but I'll come right back in.
Oh yeah, go right ahead. So the Cowboys locking up everybody on their team long term, and Al and I were talking about it off air in terms of who the biggest effect is. And I think obviously there's no change there, but because of some other changes in the league, oh, there he is. Changes in the league, does the locking up of all of the talent on the Cowboys elevate Dak Prescott to a top four or five quarterback for fantasy purposes?
Yeah, I mean, I put out a tweet this morning with my preliminary top six DFS Army fantasy football ranks for best ball and redraft, and Dak was number five. But just to, if you want to check on Twitter, I have Lamar Jackson as the QB1, Pat Mahomes is two. I have Josh Allen, we've been talking him up, is three. Kyler Murray is four, Dak is five, and I move Watson down to six. This is going to be fluid throughout, but people always want rankings, so and gave the people what they wanted. And I think that's how it stands right now. I know some people argued with me about Pat Mahomes and Jackson flipping 1-2, Kyler Murray and Josh Allen flipping 3-4, but there you have it. I think that's your top four. And I wouldn't have any good argument if you put Dak at three.
You know, what a difference a year makes where names like Aaron Rodgers and Baker Mayfield were being bandied about in the top five. And now we're all about these running quarterbacks, these explosive quarterbacks, these guys who do it all. And I think the biggest advantage actually for Dak, and the reason he's even on this list, is unfortunately the decline of Zeke Elliott a little bit, you know, where Ezekiel Elliott was eating up all of the offense on that team in past years. And he just wasn't that guy. He wasn't that guy this past season. You know, he's still a volume machine. He's still a very, very strong running back, but his sort of mild decline, I would say, has opened the door up for a Dak Prescott to put up some big numbers. And Dak runs and he does a lot of stuff. And yeah, I agree. I agree with that ranking, and I have him above Russell Wilson. So I'm all about those rankings.
Yeah. You know, it's with Dak. I agree. People are like, oh, I can't believe they didn't give Dak a contract. They did it exactly right. I mean, Dak looks like a top five real life NFL QB, but I want to see it one more year before I give him roll out the big Brinks truck. if I'm Jerry Jones, like, you know, like I'm pretty sure Amari Cooper is an elite top 10 real NFL wide receiver. So I'm good giving him the contract. And if you're Dallas, you have this tool at your disposal. Let's go one more franchise tag and then give him the big deal next year. So I totally agree with Dak getting the franchise tag just because I would like to see it one more time. And if he does it again, here.
Hell yeah. Now let's number. Talk about a couple of free agents who seem to be raping and pillaging through the billionaires of the NFL, almost as if on orders from Bernie Sanders himself.
You'll have to take the money from the billionaires. At the billionaires. Take the money from the billionaires.
You're and good at number that. One on
the, you like that?
Yeah.
The billionaires.
1% of the 2%.
Yes. We'll have to take the money from the billionaires.
So Randall Cobb took it very serious. And he said, you know something? I get it. I suck at football at this point. I'm old. I'm always hurt. But let me see if I can take the money from the billionaires. And now he is getting paid, what, $9 million a season? How does Randall Cobb do this? How does he pull it off? And how did Jimmy Graham, do these two work together?
Okay.
Who is their agent? And how do they figure out how to bamboozle millionaires and billionaires?
All right. Well,
I want a piece of that.
Okay, so let's talk about your favorite GM, the Chicago Bears, Ryan Pace. You have been on record, and I will give you full credit, for saying that this guy is the real threat to a football team, not Bill O'Brien.
Ryan Pace is a worse threat to football than coronavirus.
So okay. Let me do your touting for you. The Geek, at the time of them trading up for Mitch Trubisky, going all the way back to that draft years ago, was ripping his hair out, going crazy that they would
That's
pass.
Why wear a fucking hat? Yeah. Ryan Pace
was ripping his hair that they would trade up to get Trubisky when Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes. Now, nobody knew Mahomes and Watson were going to be this good, but you were very comfortable taking one of those guys and then sticking with it. Now they have signed the corpse of Jimmy Graham, the Chicago Bears, for a 2-year, $16 million. Do you have any faith that Jimmy Graham is? I mean, I for a second got excited, then realized he's been dust for like 2 years already.
I cannot fathom it. I can't. And the money, Jimmy Graham is a guy who should be signed for like $975. Like, what's the vet min? Oh, they raised it. It's $1.1 million. Okay.
Right.
You know what? We'll bring him in.
$9 million 2 years. I mean, you know, $9 million per. So it's like an 18.
$9 million per for Jimmy Graham? You could, what? He's not even, he's the furthest thing from a different, who is in charge? I should be in charge of that fucking team. I'm telling you, Chicago, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you guys, it's a storied franchise, a glorious franchise with good players on it. Some good players, it's being destroyed, decimated. How do you pay $9 million for Jimmy Graham? What possible hope could you have that will happen with that signing? Is he going to fix Mitch Trubisky? What's he going to do?
We don't like the signing, okay? We don't like the signing, but they did pay him. They will use him. Are you interested in Jimmy Graham for fantasy? And I think that you can't just dismiss it. Is he going, where do you think he falls? Is he someone that in tight end premium leagues most leagues are going to draft two tight ends. Is he tight end 16, tight end 18? Is he usable?
He's not in the top 12, but sure. I mean, like it's such crap in the tight end position in the 12 to the 13 to 24 range that sure you're going to be forced to draft him, but I mean, like you're drafting him to hope to play him against other garbage, like, you know, Ryan Griffin of the Jets. I mean, we're not talking about in the area where you're like, oh, yeah, I got, you know, you're playing him or Knox. You know what I mean?
I'm going to give you a couple either ors.
Noah Fant.
Couple either ors. All right. So you start getting into tight end like 13, 14, 15. OJ Howard or Jimmy Graham?
I mean, with a new regime in place, maybe a new quarterback, I guess OJ Howard.
Okay, so but he's not. It's not a new coach. It's still Bruce Arians.
Yeah, he's only there for 1 year. I mean, with a new quarterback in place, I think Jameis just hated OJ Howard.
All right, how about this? Getting deeper, he's a lot of people's sleeper is Jack Doyle with Eric Ebron no longer there. You like Jack Doyle or Jimmy Graham?
I'm going to take Jimmy Graham over Jack Doyle. Doyle is a bad sleeper, man. That is a dumb sleeper. I've had Doyle on the team for years.
All right, but remember, this year, you know, he presumably...
I get no Ebron. He sucks even without Ebron. I've had him for too many years on my teams. I know what this guy does. He's fine.
One more. I got one more for you. A very popular sleeper is going to be Blake Jarwin, who the Cowboys just extended. No Jason Witten there. Blake Jarwin is someone I've been targeting in the 11th round of best ball drafts, him or Jimmy Graham.
Jarwin all day. I mean, Jimmy Graham is crap. Dude, he's not a guy you want on your team. If you have a best ball league, it's different because he might have two good games in him in a season. But overall, he's a washed up player. It's not so much that he's a garbage player. It's how do you pay him $9 million a year?
Right. It's a bad team move for
sure. It's a bad team move. The Bears have such a decent. By the way, we didn't mention the Bears in the Tom Brady sweepstakes. They should be the top team going after T. Brad. We didn't even talk about that, but they should be the top team. And that brings us around. So anyway, wait, we have another one. I mean, do we even have to bother with Randall Cobb and how much money he got paid to as a replacement? I mean, it's just ridiculous. So I'm not going to get there because it actually pisses me off.
Okay. So the next player that I want to talk about is Austin Hooper. Okay. Austin Hooper was signed by Cleveland. Full disclosure, we talk about our wins often here. I put out a bunch of videos saying how David Njoku was going to be a great sleeper this year. I will take the L on that one for now. I still think they could trade Njoku, or a very underreported story this offseason is Jarvis Landry's surgery. He, by all accounts, will not be up and running until game three of the regular season. So he's still being drafted in best ball. Like, he's perfectly healthy. He had a 6 to 8 month recovery time. I don't think we see Jarvis Landry before week four at the minimum. And you know how I am about drafting injured players in the preseason, unless they fall into like the, you know, almost your last pick, AJ Green last year. Austin Hooper, an interesting player in a new revived Cleveland offense led by Coach Stefanski, came over from the Minnesota Vikings. No more Freddie Bathrooms, you know. So,
man,
where are we at with Austin Hooper? Is he someone that lost value that you're interested in for fantasy? Give me your breakdown on Austin Hooper and the Cleveland Browns Baker Mayfield offense.
I mean, it's a definite downgrade in value for Hooper here, more because he was just used really, really incredibly well in the Falcons offense, where the Falcons don't rush the football. So when they're scoring touchdowns, especially or in the red zone, it's Hooper that they're looking at on the Falcons. That's just the way that offense functioned. The Browns offense does not function in the same way. So people who think that they're going to get a version of Hooper that we saw last year on, again, a team that does not run the football, on the Browns, who will hand it to Chubb and hand it to Kareem Hunt, who we'll talk about in a second if he's still there. They'll hand it to him. Totally different offense. It is a downgrade. As much as you might say, well, it's a young, up-and-coming, great, and Hooper will be fine. But as far as a season like last year, hell no. I would not expect that again. It's a massive downgrade. Doesn't mean he's a bad tight end. It doesn't mean he's not going to be, you know, top 10 material, I would say. But he's probably top 10 material. I have to really, really study the tight end.
He's definitely going to be top 10. You got to see what it looks like. The tight end rankings around 9 or 10. He's a top 10, but you're not winning your league with tight end 7, with tight end 9. That's how you're just surviving your league. You don't. If you're going to win with the tight end position, we all know how that's done. You draft George Kittle in the 13th round or 9th round, wherever he was going 2 years ago.
You need that guy, the Blake Jarwin guy.
Right. Well, last year it was Austin Hooper in the 9th round. That's how you win your league with tight end. Right. Jarwin this year would certainly be the guy that we'll be keen on. I'm sure many others
too. Again, I mentioned them before, but Noah Fant is one of them. Maybe TJ Hawkinson has a resurgence. There are some names.
Well, you can't talk about Austin Hooper to Cleveland without talking about the counterbalance move where the Ravens traded away Hayden Hurst, who is entering his third year, a tight end breakout year for sure. Most people identify tight end as year three breakout. Now, even though Hayden Hurst came into the league as, I think, a 24-year-old rookie, he's only 26 years old, which in tight end years is probably like 23 for a running back. He was a first-round pick. He was picked ahead of Lamar Jackson in the real NFL draft. Now he takes the tight end spot, the pass-catching role, presumably. I know they have, Jaden Graham over there as well, who flashed a little bit last year. Are you interested in Hayden Hurst as a top 12 tight end in fantasy?
Wait, what team was he traded to?
he was traded to the Falcons in a after Hooper signed away, they traded away a pick, which it was the pick they got from Mohamed Sanu when they traded to England. They just passed it over to Baltimore for Hayden Hurst.
A, that's an upgrade. That's a win for the Falcons in terms of that trade. They got rid of Sanu, suckered a foolish old man into taking in Sanu. Foolish old man, Bill Belichick.
hot take.
Yeah, it's a hot take. I am interested in Hayden Hurst because, again, the same reason. I don't believe that Austin Hooper is a supreme talent. I think he was in the right spot. He's on the right team, a team that produces fantasy points to the and they got rid of their corpse of a running back too, a team that produces fantasy points to the tight end position. People don't appreciate that certain offenses produce points to certain positions more than others, and that's one of the biggest mistakes people make in fantasy football. So yes, it's a great move both for Hayden Hurst and for Mark Andrews, who is now hopefully going to finally be healthy after a full offseason of healing. Hopefully he can shed his Q tag and play full games. He was already great last year. How high up does Mark Andrews move up the list? And where is Hayden Hurst on the top 12 now on a team that we know produces points to the tight end position? But is he a top five, top four?
Oh, Mark Andrews is tight end two for me, right after Travis Kelce. I would take him ahead of George Kittle. Yeah, for me, I would. And I understand why someone would take George Kittle.
And Ertz. But you're taking him ahead of Ertz and Kittle.
Yeah. For me, I am. And I would understand if you don't. But, you know, we were a little head on Andrews last year as well. If you remember when I had him in my top seven or eight, you asked me about it. And I explained it to you and you jumped on right away. You said, okay, that's sound logic. We're going to move him up to number two in the rankings. The DFS Army, the initial rankings, things change. But there's no reason to believe that Mark Andrews is not the number one target and is not a 95 target guy this year. Obviously, health has to be in place. But Zach Ertz, great tight end. Dallas Goedert's going to merge a little bit. Philly's going to add pass catchers. I'll see a lot of mocks where Justin Jefferson out of LSU is going to be added. He's a pro. He's ready to go. He's one of the few guys that I think is going to have an instant impact, will not need a learning curve. He was Joe Burrow's primary target over at LSU. He looks like a professional receiver. So, again, not that I think Ertz is bad. I just think that the target share is going to go down. There's a chance they could trade him in season if the season goes down because this is his last year or, it's pretty close to it, Ertz. And then, again, Kittle, he has blow-up games, and he has games that are not so good. I mean,
George Kittle has the same issue that Russell Wilson has.
Yes.
Which is a volatility. Team that will absolutely – beyond rely on the run, will overemphasize the run to the point where it will suck all of the fantasy point scoring out of certain players in certain game situations. There's no more game flow dependent team right now outside of Seattle than the 49ers, and that's not changing. You can never trust their quarterback or their pass catchers because if they're ahead in the game, they will absolutely, completely abandon any hope of passing it. And that doesn't mean that George Kittle's bad. By all measures, I believe he was chosen as the number one player in the NFL.
Amazing player. For fantasy,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to have Andrews as my number two. You probably don't have to take him there. You could take him as the
fourth
title.
Where's he going in best ball leagues?
Andrews?
Yeah.
He's going in the fourth round. I'm just going to double check that, but I think he's going.
Is he going ahead of Ertz and Kittle?
No, he's not.
That's it. All right, there it is. So dealing with these situations, just a quick side note to anybody who's like, well, how do I deal with a situation where I have a guy ranked so much higher than everybody else? Like, should I just take him, wherever he pops up? And the answer is the balance between understanding ADP and ranking is probably the most important thing that you can get a handle on for your fantasy football draft. So even for your best...
Andrews
ADP.
Andrews went in the fifth round in my last draft.
Yeah, and I'm sure I would imagine Ertz and Kittle were gone by round three,
round two, and Darren Waller's going ahead of him as well right now.
Darren Waller, forgot about him. That's Waller's great grandson.
Yeah, let's see who the quarterback is over in Vegas. I mean, they just signed Marcus Mariota, who I know we both obviously for good reason don't like, but I wouldn't put it past. I mean, he could be this Mariota could be this year's Tannehill. Everyone thought of Tannehill the same way last year.
No, I didn't. I thought Tannehill came off of a terrible team that could not produce good players. Everybody who leaves the Dolphins, we find out was actually good. There's no precedent for that out of Tennessee. As a matter of fact, the guy who replaced Mariota looks great. So it wasn't the team. It was Mariota. It's you. Mariota, you suck. And trading Aaron Jones for Mariota in a 2QB dynasty league will go down in the annals of time as a terrible trade. Now, let's look at some other potential player moves here. Just a brief mention, Rivers. What's going on with Philip Rivers?
Okay, so something very interesting happened yesterday with the Colts, because that's where everyone thinks Philip Rivers is going, to the Colts. So the Colts own pick 13 in the NFL draft, and by many accounts, Jordan Love, the QB from Utah State, was earmarked to go there. By many who are tuned into the draft.
Are they giving up on the brisket?
I don't think they're giving up. I just think that they don't think that he has the upside. I think they're looking to replace him. And again, I think that Jacoby Brissett is going to have a nice Andy Dalton style career. Again, if you're going for it, I mean, he could be there. But what they did yesterday, the Colts, was again, Jordan Love, it, by all accounts, I mean, there's a Mel Kiper and McShay have a bet who's going to go first in the draft, Justin Herbert or Jordan Love. So Jordan Love could be a top 10 pick, certainly a first round quarterback out of Utah State. A lot of upside, some things that he's a little bit unpolished. But so, a lot of people had him getting mocked. He's mobile, but he's got a big arm. We can get into him on our rookie breakdown. But the Colts yesterday traded the 13th overall pick to San Francisco. All right. So San Francisco traded Buckner to the Colts. So the Colts now have an elite defensive lineman, which to me says that they are going to sign a QB. And Philip Rivers, to get back to your original question, is most likely guy to land there. I thought that New England would take a look at Philip Rivers too, but we can, you know.
Who's going to be the quarterback of the Patriots?
All right, well, that could be our next topic. Listen, I know it's with so much going on in free agency.
Let me throw some names out. I don't have a clue, right? I don't have a clue. So the Patriots.
The Colts are, what are we talking about now?
Let's go to the Patriots side here.
Okay, because
With Rivers, we think he's going to the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a hot take at all. Everyone thinks that, but it makes a lot of sense. And then the other thing about that, the thing that tangents off of that, is now the 49ers own pick 13. I think we could see your guy, Jerry Jeudy, or CeeDee Lamb go to the 49ers to add to that. I think they're going to go offense right there. That's why they traded a defensive player, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
A massive downgrade to whoever goes to the 49ers from a passing game perspective.
Well, that's
like
why
that would be disastrous for him if that happens.
That hooked into the George Kittle thing.
Yeah.
That was why I wanted to talk about downgrade of George Kittle, because I think that they will spread the ball around a little bit more. And Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb both look like can't miss prospects at this point. So if they were going on that offense, it lowers the upside. But yeah, so you want to go over to New England now.
Over to New England. Who's going to be the quarterback for New England? What are they going to do? I mean, they are a team that has had no issue plugging and playing guys in roles. Even when Tom Brady was hurt, they plug and played quarterbacks, and they look great. Remember that dude who eventually went to Kansas City? I can't remember his name at this point, but they had that quarterback there. I think it was 2011 playoffs, no problem. So when Brady got hurt. So who's Belichick eyeballing now? And I can't imagine it's just like, hey, we'll pick up a rookie with our 28th pick in the draft. So there's got to be something that they're, in the free agency market. Are we talking Teddy KGB Bridgewater? Are we talking Jameis Winston if they let him go from Tampa?
By the way, you were talking about Matt Cassell before.
Yeah, Matt Cassell. Yeah.
Cassell. Cassell. Sorry.
He was such crypto. Every time, they paid him, Matt Cassell got paid.
Yeah. Who will be under center for New England week one? All right. I put up a Twitter poll on this, and I mean, you could literally list anybody. So last year they drafted rookie Jared Stidham, and he'll be in his second year. I mean, when New England drafts somebody, they draft someone in with the eyeball on replacing. Remember, they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. They drafted Jacoby Brissett. If there's one thing that New England has had really good luck drafting, it's QBs that to succeed Tom Brady. So I wouldn't call Jared Stidham a no chance. I mean, there's a chance, especially if we all think Bill Belichick has a good system. And if they drafted a QB, I'm interested in that QB. So I think that that's one possibility. The other possibility that I keep hearing kicked around are those game manager types like Andy Dalton. I don't think that's the route they're going to go. I think if Cam Newton's healthy and Jameis Winston ends up in Carolina for some reason, that's a possibility. But the one possibility that I'd like to explore here is that New England gathers their assets, pushes up in the draft, and goes to get Tua at pick 2 from the Washington Redskins.
Man, I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know where to start with it because all of those options really.
Well, here, I'll make it easy for you to answer. You go down this route. Do you think they're going to get a game manager? Do they get a lowered value veteran like Cam Newton, someone that's had their value hurt, or do they go with Stidham or a rookie?
Can you see Bill Belichick dealing with Cam Newton, dressing up like the grandmother from Into the Woods for press conferences, talking about how he needs to pay more attention to the game plan and the football? He's sitting there and he's got a shmata over his head and he's walking like this, and I'm like, why is he dressed like my grandmother? I don't know what the fuck this guy is doing. Belichick is not dealing with no Cam Newton. I promise you that. There's no way. So wipe him off the list. Andy Dalton, there's a sniff of I could see it, but Andy Dalton doesn't reek of a guy that's going to take a team to another Super Bowl. So, like, unless Belichick really is kind of like throwing in the towel and saying, you know, fuck it, it just doesn't sound like him. Like, he's not like, hey, I've won 8 Super Bowls, I've won 7 Super Bowls, I've been there X amount of times in a row, now I can just cruise for 2 years and like rebuild. That just does not sound like Belichick.
I disagree, and I'll tell you why. And again, you could be right. So I don't want, but I'll tell you why I disagree. They may do any of the options that I just laid out, or the other one is not, in the 2021. There's an all-time prospect, a Peyton Manning type of prospect coming out at quarterback, the QB from Clemson. Okay, now okay. Trevor Lawrence. I think that they could have a tank type of year. Go with Stidham. See if it works out. All right. And if it's not working out, you know, they'll finish 6-11 now.
Then load up to try to get
Trevor Lawrence.
I would hate to count on that. It just doesn't sound like a Patriots move to me. Any Belichick helmed team, even with a bad quarterback, is going to win 8 games. They're in the division with the Jets and the Miami and the Bills. Like, you could fall on 5 or 6 wins. There's no way they get to worst team in the league status. So, I mean, yeah, it could happen, but I don't see that either. I like Teddy Bridgewater for that team.
Yeah, and Teddy Bridgewater is literally the ultimate game manager. I was thinking that he might go to Tampa Bay if Tom Brady goes to the Chargers, and I'll tell you why. It's like, you know, for all of you out there that have ever dated someone that was just like crazy party person, oh my God, usually a lot of times you'll go back and you will kind of you'll marry someone that's a little more conservative, or you'll be with someone that's more conservative. And I heard this take on Twitter. That's why I'm repeating it, is that you go from Jameis Winston, who fires the ball downfield, throws all these interceptions, to the ultimate game manager in Teddy Bridgewater. I thought that was a really funny take, and it makes a lot of sense that you go from one to the other.
Well, usually when you have the analogy is with coaches, where you go from the player's coach to the disciplinarian, and it's always like overreactions, by the way. It's like, yeah, we went from like some garbage Gus Bradley type guy, right, who like has no discipline, and he's like, if a player doesn't show up, he's like, it's okay, I get that you're 10 minutes late for the meeting, that's no fine problem. Yeah, it's great. And then you go to like, you know, some Bill Parcells disciple who's like, if you're not 5 minutes early, you'll get a fine. And like, hey guys, you know, let's have a middle ground here. Let's just not go to a nutbag. But like, I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater, we don't really know what he is as a quarterback. I think to call him the ultimate, I think Andy Dalton is the perfect description of a game manager. I don't think that we know exactly what Teddy Bridgewater is as a quarterback because his career was cut short. He's coming back. We just don't know.
All right. Yeah, I got it.
I think, you know, some of these other guys, it's just a tough call.
I mean, give me a prediction right now. You have to make a prediction. Who will be under center? Patriots,
I'm going to predict. I think it's going to be a veteran. I think it will be a wily veteran of some sort. Give me Jameis Winston to the Patriots.
All right. My prediction is either going to be they're going to stay with Jarrett Stidham, give him a shot, see what happens, or they're going to maybe make a trade with Gruden and get Carr over to the Patriots. All right. Next guy I want to talk about is Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, late last night, was traded first-round pick and some other goodies to the Buffalo Bills. Start with the simple question, Geek. Upgrade, downgrade, even money. What happens with Stephon Diggs' value is from when he's moving from Minnesota to Buffalo, Josh Allen?
I'm going to say even money. I was going to say downgrade a little bit, but I'm going to call it even money. And the reason being, listen, there was a two wide receiver system in place in Minnesota to begin with. They were a run heavy team anyway. So there were lots of occasions where Stephon Diggs wasn't used very well. The Bills don't have any top-end wide receiver talent at all. So this is, for the Bills, a legit, and I think he just fits so well with Josh Allen. I love this move. I love this move for the Bills. Now, I don't love giving up a first-rounder for a fucking free agent. I don't do that. I would never give up a first-rounder.
Well, think about where they were. Minnesota had, I mean, their pick was late. They made the playoffs. They won a game. I mean, they were, you know, are you going to get a player of Stephon Diggs' caliber if you're Buffalo?
I don't believe in giving up first-round picks for players. I wouldn't do it. I would rather just sign a free agent and overpay them and keep my pick. That's a side. That's a franchise move. If I was the GM, I would not be giving up first rounders for veteran players ever. I just would never do it. But when you set that aside, for the Bills franchise, they go from a team that really had no wide receiver talent whatsoever. And you and I, we love Smokey Brown. We love the Sheriff. Loved him for years as a player. But he's not a special player. He's not a game breaker. He's not a difference maker. He's just a guy. I mean, he's just a guy, and I hate to say it because he's a guy that we've liked a lot, but he's just a guy. So it's a massive improvement for Josh Allen, and Josh Allen's skill set is so perfect for Diggs. Diggs is super fast. He can run deep. What can Josh Allen do really well? He can throw a bomb. You know, this guy is going to I think he's like a rich man's Sheriff John Brown. Like, he, you know,
yeah, Brown, I mean, he's definitely the best wide receiver instantly on that team. I mean, Keep in mind, weeks 1 through 13 last year, John Brown was the 15th fantasy wide receiver. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
He was great because of volume, but he was not having explosive games. He would get you, you know, 75 yards and a touchdown. He was great. Like I said, very happy having drafted him, but he didn't, and he was very consistent, which is great for your fantasy league. It's great for your best ball league. He was there, but he wasn't producing 25-point fantasy performances ever.
He was a rock solid wide receiver two that you drafted as your wide receiver three or four. So John Brown. So I mean, all right. So let's get it down to brass tacks. Where would you draft Stephon Diggs in fantasy draft? I mean, is it the fourth round?
I mean, I just haven't done enough best ball leagues to see where the.
All right,
I'd rather compare him to players.
All right, here we go. I'm going to give it to you. DK Metcalf, or Stephon Diggs.
Wow,
those are the good. Here's the players that are going right around Steph Diggs right now in best ball. Keenan Allen.
I take Diggs over Allen all day.
Okay. DK Metcalf. I know that was a tough decision for
you. Tough one right there. Yeah, I'm going to go with. Man, I'm going to go with Diggs.
Okay. Devontae Parker.
Without knowing who the quarterback is in Miami, definitely Diggs.
Okay. Robert Woods out in LA.
That's close. That's a close one. I think I'm going to take Robert Woods there, but I think that seems to be where that level, that's where it is. I mean, that's close. Right now, Diggs with Buffalo, number one wide receiver. Woods competing with a couple, at least one other guy. Is Brandon Cooks coming back over there?
Yeah, Brandon Cooks is back. I like him as a buy low this year, Brandon Cooks. You can get him regularly in the fifth, sixth round.
Always, it's just a difficult team that has three
Yeah, but in the fifth, sixth round, come on. You can get him as your wide receiver three, and he could be a top, you know, I mean.
He's not going to be a top. He's a wide receiver three. That's what he is. Right. I don't think it's a bargain. I don't want.
Actually, you know what? Let me double check.
I don't want Brandon Cooks on my team unless I'm drafting him as a wide receiver five.
All right. Let me see where he actually went in the last best ball that I did. It might have even been later than that.
It should be later because that's not a guy you want to start on your team. He's too inconsistent. He's giving you threes and fours all the time. Even with Cooper Kupp on the shelf last year. Well, he wasn't really on the shelf, but making his way back from injury, you know, it wasn't like Brandon Cooks was doing anything. But 2 years ago when Cooper Kupp was hurt, Brandon Cooks did not have like an explosion of productivity. Matter of fact, like Josh Reynolds emerged and the tight end emerged. So Brandon Cooks is who he is. Brandon Cooks is basically Sammy Watkins.
He will give you two
good games over the course of a season. It's like, oh my God, I got this completely wrong.
Brandon Cooks in the last draft that I participated in went in the 10th round.
There we go. That's right. See, that is correct. Like when you said a wide receiver there, if you're drafting a Brandon Cooks as your WR3, you're fucking nuts. That's a guy who's giving you threes, fours, and fives a lot of the time. He'll have a good week, but
he's volatile. But we're talking about best ball, and in best ball, volatility is okay.
I'll take him in the 10th, 11th round in a best ball league for sure.
Yeah, but I'm saying, would you jump him into the 8th round to try to get him?
No, he's not a guy I'd be rushing to take.
Fair enough.
That is not on my I need this guy. Although, again, an injury to one of these other guys. But we've seen the injury to the other guys doesn't help him. So he's not super exciting for me. We got off topic by talking about Brandon Cooks.
What's the point?
Yeah, with Stephon Diggs though.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs. So where are you? We agree. Fourth round, any of those guys, pick your poison. Are you taking AJ Brown ahead of him? He seems to be going earlier than I want to take him. I like AJ Brown, but with Tannehill back there, with Derrick Henry, basically going to be the rock of that offense. I'm not so sure AJ Brown is a third round pick. He's going to go there and might be worth it, but I haven't picked him yet.
Who's going first, AJ Brown or Cortland Sutton?
Sutton's going ahead of him, but it's right now it's flip-flop. Yeah,
they're right. So I mean, the young guns crew, we have to pay attention to these guys because the expectation is they're going to take a massive leap. I would put Cortland Sutton in that group. I would put Joey Gallup.
What are you talking about?
Michael Gallup too.
Michael Gallup, yeah.
And the player from the Lions as well.
Galladay,
yeah. Kenny G. There's this group that just looks poised to explode. They'll have very similar characteristics. Monster measurables, big guys, tall, strong, like the future of the WR position in the NFL. These big athletic freaks. You know, DK Metcalf is the ultimate. Have you seen him? Like, that guy looks like a WWF wrestler / bodybuilder, and he's a fucking animal. And, like, these guys are like nothing we've ever seen before in terms of their athleticism, their size and strength. And I think that whole group is poised to really make a push ahead of, like, the Keenan Allen. No, right. Stop with the Keenan Allen. Who the fuck is ranking Keenan Allen?
Let me ask you this.
How many years do I have to warn people with Keenan Allen? Enough.
Well, he's going in the fourth round, so it's not a bad price. Now, if Tom Brady ends up the QB of the Chargers, you're not interested in Keenan Allen being like a Julian Edelman type of PPR just machine? I'm interested at that point.
No, Julian Edelman will be the Julian. Like, they'll bring Julian Edelman.
Well, let's say they don't. And it's Keenan Allen.
Tom Brady will spread the football around. They've got Mike Williams on the outside. They've got
Hunter Henry.
There's too many weapons on that team. Keenan Allen's superpower was always volume. It was never explosive plays. It was volume. And if you don't give, and he's a great route runner, I give it to him. And he might get along well. I'm not going anywhere near. I don't like new quarterbacks and wide receiver combinations. I don't like an old quarterback learning new tricks. If Brady going to a team will be a negative for me from a fantasy perspective.
Oh yeah, no. If he goes to Tampa, I am a lot less interested in Godwin and Evans at their price.
Wherever Brady lands, people are going to misconstrue that for
an upgrade.
A fantasy upgrade when they should be looking at it as a downgrade. Yeah. New quarterbacks. Look what happened. You know, the first year with Cousins, like just did terrible with those wide receivers too. And he did a little better in his second year and you car, oh, okay. You see that all the time. Or a new wide receiver goes to a team and he's just not clicking. You know, he's Odell Beckham, just not clicking with Baker Mayfield. Like, just didn't work. And you're like, well, it's Odell. How could we downgrade him? He's Odell Beckham. He's a great player. He is. He catches it like one hand. He's able to do amazing. It didn't click. You have to be wary of new quarterback, especially big name wide receivers, especially big name quarterbacks, because like I said, Tom Brady is so used to whatever the hell he's been doing for the last 20 years. To go to a new situation is going to be disorienting for him.
All right. So a couple more free agents that have not signed yet that I'm interested in. I am waiting to see where Melvin Gordon goes. That's somebody I'm interested in for okay. fantasy. Right now, I've been routinely getting him in the third round, the middle of the third round. We identified on another podcast that Miami is the most likely landing spot, that they're the ones that could pay him. You get him on a one-year deal, pay him the $10 million money that he's probably not worth. He could do it all. I'm very interested in Melvin Gordon, especially if he lands in Miami. I think he'll be a polarizing player. Some people are going to love it. Some people are going to hate it. They'll cite Le'Veon Bell. Hey, look, good running back, bad team. Look what happens. But
I don't want running backs on bad teams.
Right. But Miami was an explosive team once Ryan Fitzpatrick was under center and they had it going. They were scoring fantasy points.
Is Ryan Fitzpatrick going to be the quarterback again?
Well, I mean, by all accounts, they're going to draft a rookie, whether it ends up being Tua, if it ends up being Justin Herbert. And I would like to think that rational coaching would project that they start the rookie right away. Like, why do like sit him on the bench? Just let him get the only way to learn any skill in life is to do it and to fail at it. And if the guy unless he's completely shell shocked in practice, but by all accounts,
but now by your admission, chances are they're going to draft a quarterback rookie.
Yeah.
Now, rookie doesn't play well in the beginning generally, unless it's like a running quarterback that, like a Kyler Murray style of player.
Yeah.
They tend to be losing games. Why do I want a running back on a losing team on my fantasy league? I mean, that hasn't been a successful, thing ever.
That's a good question. I have the answer because of the price. It's a third round pick. And if Melvin Gordon is projected to get 250 carries and 40 passes caught, it's worth a third round pick. I mean, again, he won't be
third round, not your regular fantasy league where quarter running backs are downgraded a little bit.
There you go.
We're talking best ball leagues, which is a very different thing.
Well, no, but that's a good compromise. I still think he's worth a third round pick in redraft, but certainly not the two first round picks that somebody in our dynasty paid for him 2 years ago. So,
one pick in this year's.
As we approach 1 hour, I think that's a good place to end it. Is there anyone else that you could think of on the free agent list that we want to talk about? Someone that, and we'll just do, I'll give you a lightning round. Manuel Sanders, where do you think he signs? He's a free agent. What team could use him? And what team signed him, would you be interested in him in fantasy?
Oh, would I be interested? I don't know if I'm going to be interested in fantasy no matter what. I think the Patriots need a wide receiver. That's a potential landing spot.
How about Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers? If he lands there, you're not interested in for fantasy?
That would be interesting if he lands in Green Bay. They're definitely lacking. And now Minnesota needs a second wide receiver as well. So that could be a spot for Manny Sanders. Definitely not the 49ers.
All right, two more to ask you. Breshad Perriman had a big last month of the season, disappointing first handful of years of his career. Is that someone that you're interested in the double digit rounds? Again, let's use a good landing spot like Green Bay. They have
not at all.
So no. Not at all. Okay, so he's a pass. He's going to be a popular sleeper that you're going to hear throughout. I'm split on him. I do not know. Now, the last guy, I'm just looking down my list here to see if there's anybody else worth talking about. And I think we covered them all. I'm just looking. I don't want to talk about.
I'll throw one name out there on the free agency side of things, because I think we disagree or we're not sure what's going on with this guy. My man, the Kareem, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
Does he stay with the Browns and sort of continue the shake and bake thing with Nick Chubb? Or was the transition tag sort of a way for them to extract a draft pick out of whoever wants to actually sign Kareem Hunt?
Yeah, you opened my eyes to this yesterday because we talked about this not on the podcast. And I said, oh, yeah, he's going to definitely be there because they put the transition tag on him. And you were thinking second and third order stuff. You said, hey, they put that tender on him so somebody would take him and they would get the pick. So
I think the reason they kept him on the team originally and signed him was to say, hey, we'll wait for this guy to rehab. we'll control him. And if he looks good, we can trade him away and get some assets for him. It's a super win.
Right. Well, we all know that he was suspended not because he was hurt, because he was punished for his off the field stuff.
The kick, it was the kick that did it.
Yeah.
Push, okay with it. The kick, not okay.
It's even in MMA, the kick while someone's on the floor does look. Oh, yeah. I was going to go on tangent again, but yep. So,
if he was in the octagon when he kicked that lady, he would have been disqualified and taking the L.
The most volatile first round player is Nick Chubb at this point, because we all know that he's a top five, top six overall pick. If Kareem Hunt's not there, if Kareem Hunt's there, I don't think you could take him in the first two rounds, because we saw the PPR upside get capped as soon as Kareem Hunt. I think he had like 50
Kareem
catches.
Kareem Hunt was in there sucking up all the receptions.
Yeah, so I think that's a good place to end it, man. So sign us off.
Let's call it for this one, guys. There is more free agency happening. We're just day two of NFL free agency, and fuck it, we're all locked in the house here, nothing else to do. So we are diving in deep, having some fun. So we'll continue to bring these over the coming days and weeks as we sort of have more free agency action happening. And of course, NFL draft is not far away as well. So we'll be talking NFL draft. We'll be pontificating on players and team. Maybe we got to start a competition. I just had an idea. Oh, fuck yeah. DFS Army wide competition. Guess, you know, who goes where, most accurate pick, put some money on it
for the draft.
That
the draft
will happen. All right. Yeah. Now this is a contest that will happen. We'll have some fun with it. So stay in tune for that. I just had the thought.
And then the other thing is we're going to do is we're going to start a lot of these best ball drafts where we do play against the geek and says, so give it, you know, let all the coronavirus sports stuff shake out a little bit. We'll put out some announcements. We're going to do $10 best balls where you compete against the geek and I for prizes. We're probably going to do at least 10 of these. So if you don't get in the first one, keep trying. We'll put out links. A best ball draft is a 20-round draft where you draft and then leave it. And however the season plays out, it plays out. The best players get inserted to your lineup by the software, and we'll have more on that as well.
For anybody that joins any of those best balls that I'm in and that says is in, but mostly for me and that I'm in, I want to thank you in advance for your donation. I appreciate it.
So if they beat you, do they get a free month of DFS Army?
We will have prizes. Yes, we will have some. I can't do everybody who beats me because fuck, I can't give away nine. But we will. What we'll do in those contests to make them extra fun is we will do prizes like that. We'll do free months of things. We'll do swag prizes.
Free month of our new sports wagering service, SportsBet Army. Yeah, we'll do things like that.
Yeah, we'll figure out cool prizes to make it extra fun. And I'm not worried about it because I cashed in 16.
You were last year. You were a dog in best ball, man. I think 16 out of 20 best balls.
It was ridiculous. I don't even understand.
Unheard of. It's not.
The ratio was ridiculous.
Yeah. Just to give the people context, I was in 40 best balls, and every year I expect to cash in about 10 or 11 of those.
30% is what you should expect.
Yeah, and I cashed in like 6 or 7. It was like it was an uneven year for me in best ball.
Too much OJ Howard.
Yeah, probably. And Joe Mixon in the beginning of the year, which I'm backing on.
I had none of that shit. But what I did have was a shitload of AJ Brown and Hollywood Brown, because I was taking all those rookies that people were allowing to fall into the 16th, 17th, and 18th rounds. That's how you do it. That's
my brother.
Jerry Judy will be on my team.
Jerry Judy, CeeDee Lamb. We're going to do a full rookie breakdown in the coming weeks. All right. DFSArmy.com. Give them the 25-second pitch about what's going on.
We're not pitching DFS Army for memberships right now. Obviously, Sparks is in a pause, but you know, check out DFSArmy.com anyway. We have articles. We have podcasts. Make sure you like and subscribe to this podcast channel, wherever you're watching this, YouTube, Podbean, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Snitcher, Twitcher, whatever the hell you're watching this on, like, subscribe, smash the like button right now when we do our live stream videos. If you haven't subscribed to the DFS Army YouTube channel, you're missing out. These are live streams that we do constantly. We take Q&A, lots of great stuff, all different topics, and you get notified when the next one is coming out when you smash the subscribe button. When you don't hit subscribe, you don't find out what's up.
I have a little treat for the people, too. In the next 2 days, I'll have my top 24 pre-draft rookies up on DFSArmy.com.
There we go. So top 24 rookies. We'll be talking NFL draft. We got extra time. We're going to talk about a lot of this shit. So keep in mind, we'll have dynasty rankings going. We have your best ball rankings going. Everything you need for fantasy football season long. We've got you covered, and not by fucking bullshitters on a radio show. I'm talking about people we play. We play for big money, 16 out of 20 leagues. Follow my shit. Kenyon Drake, 2 years in a row, finally delivered. This year, we're all over it.
Yeah, last thing, I saw a tweet online that I just thought was too good, and I just can't take any credit for it. But someone, when they were talking about the DeAndre Hopkins and David Johnson trade, so someone had said that if that trade went down in your dynasty league, it would have been vetoed.
Yeah, it would be like, what? What? Why?
100%. Yeah, well, we already covered it. So anyway, good cap, man. We'll talk soon, all right, brother?
All right, take care, everyone.
Bye now.